Take your Bible to Malachi chapter 3 and verses 7 to 10. There is a problem at the nation of Israel, and Malachi writes, he says, you've gone against mine ordinances, or my Bible. You've gone against the principles of the Word of God. That's a terrible thing. This is a terrible indictment against the children of Israel. He says, you've gone against the principles, my precepts, my scriptures. You've gone against the Word of God in the fact that you have stopped doing what I told you to do. And when you stop doing what I tell you to do, there is no blessing to it. I don't know about you, but I sure love the blessings of God upon my life. I sure love the opportunity it is to see God work in mysterious ways and ways that we can't understand, but all of a sudden something happens and God makes things happen and God gives us things and God protects us of things. You know, I heard one man said, he said, you know, I've put my kids through Christian school and through college, and he said, I just didn't figure out how we could do it. I just didn't know how that we could support that. I didn't know how we could just keep financing that. But he said it just seemed like that some way, somehow, that God just took care of us. He said after the kid graduated from college, he said my car broke down, my truck broke down, and we had to get a new washing machine drive. But he said all those times that they're in school, all those things kept working until, you know, we had the, you know, money to finance it. But after that, other things happened, and then we had to finance these things, you know. And so, kind of interesting how that God takes care of us and supplies our needs to answer our prayers. I really am afraid for folks who are unwilling to give. I'm afraid for folks who are unwilling to bestow upon God's work the things that God has expected them to do. It's really scary. I fear for the father who does not rule his home well and does not take care of the finances of his home and making sure that every Sunday that they bring that tithe to the local church. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal. And I want to speak to that today. I'm speaking. My dad used to say, I want to nip it in the bud. And I never could understand that until I had my own garden. And little buds come up. They're very easy to pick out of your garden. They're very easy to get rid of that weed. But you let that old dandelion sit there for a few months, and brother, you get a long old tail on him like that, and it's hard to get rid of that thing. And he said, you ought to nip it in the bud. You ought to take care of those things. So today, I want to talk to you about giving. It's not because I see anything going on here at this Baptist church that people are not giving, but I'd rather give it to you now than when there was something going on that I'd have to give it to you. And some people say, man, that's sour milk. That's pretty salty to me. I don't like that. So I want to give it. I'm looking out at the crowd. I don't know what you give. I thank God what you give. I have no idea what you give every week. I have no idea. I've been a pastor for quite a long time. I know one pastor. He said, I get a sheet from my treasurer every week, and it tells exactly how much people are giving and their tithe and everything. And he said, I can tell when I got a problem with the family, they stop giving. I can tell when they're, you know, and he'd go that way. Well, I've never chose that. I know I have the right to, as a pastor, I have the right to make sure you're giving and making sure that, but I've never chose that. I like the Bible says you ought to give, your right hand ought to give, but your left hand doesn't know what you're giving. And I hold you accountable to yourself instead of to me. I hold you accountable to yourself, that God would deal with you in your heart and your life. The Bible says, from the days of the Father, you've gone astray from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you. That's God promise you. I like what the Bible says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad about that. I'm glad that if something happens, I can go right to God and say, dear God, would you forgive me? And he said, I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you all from all unrighteousness. Same way the scripture says here. He says, return unto me, and I'll return unto you. Hey, that's pretty simple, isn't it? You do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of you. You do that all the time to your children. You do this, or if you don't do this, I'll have to discipline you. I'll have to take you to court, and I'm the chief prosecutor, and I am the chief judge and executioner. That's what I used to tell my boys. I said, you know, we're going to have a fight here, and I'm going to win, so you might as well just take care of it right now. Amen. So he said, listen, you return unto me, and I'll return unto you. And they said, now, wherein shall we return? And he says, will a man rob God? You know, there's a difference between stealing and robbing. This is what most people think about stealing. You have two, so they just take one. You don't need two, you just need one, so I'll just take that one of yours, you know, one of the two of yours, and or I drive by and I see you're not driving your bicycle, I need to drive your bicycle, so I just steal your bicycle. Or I see your door's unlocked at night and you didn't lock your door, so you must think it's okay for me to get in your door, and I get in, I'll steal everything I want to steal out of it. That's called stealing. I see a nice set of tires on your car, and you're not driving right now, so I'm going to keep them. I'm going to take them. I'll give you cinder blocks for free. That's stealing. I see that you're not eating all the tomatoes out of your garden, so I'm going to take some of them. I see your cucumbers hanging on the vine. I'm going to take some of them. Amen. That's not robbery. That's stealing. But robbery, the difference between stealing and robbery is, come here, Brother Rick. Stealing is, he's not seeing me and I'm doing it. Robbery is this, give me all your money. That was dumb for me to ask you that, right? I come into your bank and I said, hey, I want all the money. What is that?
It's robbery.
That's robbery. Difference, isn't it? And I look at your Bible. The Bible says, will a man at the point of a knife or at the point of a weapon, I am robbing you. And God says, when you don't take care of business and take and give your tithe, you are doing what to God? At gunpoint, at knife point. You're threatening and telling him, give me all you got. So this morning last night, I tried to do it on Saturday night, I write out my tithes check, and I write out my missions giving, and I fold it up and put it on my desk, and this morning I put it in my front pocket, and this morning when those ushers came forward, I put that in the, I gave my tithe and my offering and my missions to the Lord this morning. Because I'll be doggone if I'm going to rob my God. I'm not going to put a knife at the throat of Almighty God and say, listen, I ain't doing what you tell me to do. Now, when you put it that way, that kind of puts in a new idea of your life. For instance, if you tithe, illustrated in the Old Testament. Man has a bunch of sheep. And when those lambs come, he's already tithed on the old sheep, the ewes that give birth to those lambs. And so now he lines up those new lambs. And he said, okay, first lamb through the chute. That's number one. That goes to God. Number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, number nine, number ten, number one. He goes to God. So you got two over here already, right? Tithe. First one comes in the chute, that's God's. That's a tithe. First one comes in the chute, he's a beautiful, most magnificent lamb of the whole bunch. If he came in first and you don't rout them, you take the first one that comes in. That goes to God. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Here's a bum lamb. Here's a club-footed lamb. Here's a lamb that's skinny. He's number eight, number nine, number ten. Guess what? You keep it. You don't have a choice to say who the number one lamb is. Who the lamb to give tithe. Then, here comes the first one again into the gate. He is the most ugliest, crippled little thing you've ever seen. Guess what? That's still the tithe. Still the tithe. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All of them are beautiful lambs. Next one in the gate. It's a beautiful lamb. That's God's. Doesn't make a difference. We don't call them out. The calling means, y'all know what calling is, right? We don't call those out. We just, when it comes to tithe, the 10%, the first one is always God's. Now there's a difference. When it comes to offerings, or if you rob me in tithes and offerings. This morning, if you just gave your tithe, you're pretty cheap. It's like going to the restaurant and giving 10%. They say that's very cheap now. You're supposed to give 15 or 20%. That's why you go to McDonald's. You don't have to do that. I know. So when it comes to the offering, the offering had all the different idea about giving. The offering says, God, the man that gives the offering says, God has blessed me with a new baby boy or a new baby girl. And I am so thrilled what God has done, and He has spared my wife's life. That was a big deal years ago. Many, many of our grandfathers married the second time or the third time because their first or second wife died in childbirth. How many ever that happened? Sure, it happened in my family. My granddad's first wife died. Childbirth. She died and the baby boy died. And he married my grandma Anna. And so the child is born. Everybody's excited, thrilled. God has been so good to me. So he goes out into his pasture and finds the best, whether oxen or the best cow or the best lamb, and he brings that to the altar, he brings that to the temple and says, God has been so good to me. I want to give this free will offering. I don't have to, but I'm so blessed by God. A father says, here's my young son. He just finished his education. I am so thrilled that he finished. Ain't nothing like getting a diploma in your hand. I'll promise you that. He just finished. I am so thrilled about that. I'm bringing an offering to God. That was an offering. It was a wonderful, powerful thing. And so, God said, they said, well, where have we robbed you? He says, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. And he says this, verse 9. Would you look at your Bible? Look at 9. Ye are, say it to me. Now being cursed is bad. But it says, ye are cursed with a curse. You don't get any worse than that. It's kind of like when the Bible talks about Moses was in the backside of the desert. He wasn't only in the desert. He was in the backside of the desert. It didn't get any worse than that. And he says, because you have not been faithful. Listen, the Bible tells your pastor that it is my responsibility to teach you, to encourage you to do right, to encourage you to keep the Word of God. The Bible says that you are cursed with a curse if you don't tithe and you don't give an offering. That's pretty powerful. That is very strong. That is from very heavy words where it says you are cursed with a curse. I don't care how old you are. If some way, somehow God has brought something into your possession, you should tithe on it. He says there should be a first fruit. There should be something brought to the storehouse. Bring ye what? All. I can't give a portion. I have to bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and prove me. God said, listen to me. I'll take care of the house of God. Now, he says, I'm going to challenge you. God said, I'm going to challenge you. Now, he says, I want you to challenge you. Prove me. Just prove me. Something came up in my life this week. And God's really dealing with me about a few things. And I found out that somebody really needed something. And I needed it too. But God spoke to my heart and said, do that. And so I did it. Then last night, I was coming home from Bozeman, and I was thinking about a situation, and I knew this person needed a little bit of money. And I thought, boy, Lord. And I knew what I had in my billfold. Y'all know what you have in the billfold? And in my billfold, for some unreason, I had $100. How many like to have that in your billfold? Well, I don't. Because God said, prove me. How many God ever done that to you? Just give it. Don't worry about it. Just give it. And I thought, but Lord, in 2 weeks, my wife and I are going down to South Carolina to graduation of my granddaughter. Kindergarten graduation. That's big. It's big. It's really big. And I need that. Right? How many ever traveled? How many ever know that people want money when you travel? And I kind of argued a little bit about it coming home. I was just coming up the hill there coming into Great Falls, and I thought, okay. All right. Okay. I'll give it. So I called the person. I said, now listen, I'm going to be at my house at 9 o'clock. I said, I want you to come over to the house. I want to give you, God has spoke to me about something. You come over. And they came over, and I handed them five $20 bills. That's a lot of money to me. But God has spoke to my heart. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to teach you something here, okay? I gave that to him. She said, no, I can't take that. I said, listen to me. God spoke to me, and don't mess me up here. Don't mess God up on this thing. And so she took it. And I saw the mail on my desk that I hadn't had for 2 days. And I thought, I'm going to look in my, and I'm just, as she's leaving, I opened up my mailbox, and there was a check from my farm back in Michigan. I had a fit right there. We get a final check on our sugar beet crop back in Michigan. It's not a lot of money, but bless God, it's sure more money than I had, amen. And I'll tell you what, I said, you see, I said, I didn't know that was going to be here, but God took care of me. You know, I did. I don't, not only did it give me faith in God myself, but also gave faith in her so that she could see that God actually does work that way. I had no idea it was going to be there. But that's called by faith, by giving. That's why I like missionaries. Missions, that's like we're going to take an offering for our friends in Nepal. I'll tell you what, they're devastated. Good night. What in the world are these poor people going to do? You know, how many remember Haiti? How many remember how they were devastated? I will tell you right now that those people in Nepal are more poor than the people in Haiti. They need some help. And so by faith, and we need to pray and say, dear God, what would we like us to do I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I hungry today? Do I have nice clothes on today? Did I drive in a vehicle that starts and runs? Sorry, Fern. Tomorrow we're gonna take care of that for you. Are we blessed? Look at your beautiful children, Brian. A wonderful wife. John, look at your family. Look at your families. Are we blessed? Look at that baby. Are we blessed? God take care of us? But God says, let me tell you something now. I said, I don't want you to forget this. You make sure that you're right with God. You know, when I read this, I said, good night. I'm wondering, why didn't God say, well, you've been immoral? Or God said, well, you've used my name in vain. And God says, you haven't been faithful to the temple. No, he says, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. Wow. So that puts that pretty high in God's book. Amen. And what he's saying is, when you tithe and when you give, you're saying, God, I trust you. And he says, you just proved me. Come on. Just prove me. When I was a little boy, growing up on a farm, today, well, it'll be tomorrow. We never farmed on our farm, never on a Sunday. Never farmed on a Sunday. Never. Everything was shut down on Sunday. In fact, my cousin Dwayne came over. We got a brand new John Deere tractor. Big old 4020. Man, it is a big old powerhouse tractor. And we got that thing brand new. And Dwayne always came to my house on Sunday, or I went to his house. And so he came, and of course, I had to brag to Dwayne, because Dwayne was the biggest bragger in the world. He always had the best stuff, and his dad always made a lot more money than I did. They always drove the Thunderbirds, and they always had the best, okay? Well, we got a brand new John Deere tractor. Yeah, you can just see me with a hay hanging out my lip here, huh? Hey, Dwayne!
What's hell?
I said, we got a brand new tractor.
So?
I said, man, it's brand new.
Oh.
Anything I'd have, it wasn't no big deal. You know. So after dinner, we went out to the tractor, out to the shed, and there's that big old brand new yellow, green, beautiful, spotless. They haven't even been in the field yet. They delivered it on Saturday. I jumped up on there, and he said, hey, man, why don't you start it? I said, I can't. He said, what do you mean you can't? I said, we don't start our equipment unless we have to do something. And we don't do anything except emergency stuff on Sundays. Oh, Shell, you can run this thing. Come on. And he just kept at it. And finally said, okay. Dumb me. Oh, yeah. He double-dog dared me. Stick a needle in my eye, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. I fired that old John Deere up, and it whoom! Oh, it just sounded good. Ooh, you just, huh, Scott, huh? You just feel that thing just tremble and you whoom, whoom, whoom. You know, I tell you what, my heart just pounded, you know. And all of a sudden, Dwayne says, "Hey, Shell, your dad's behind you." And boy, my heart started pounding, and I knew I was going to get a pounding from someplace else. Amen. I shut her all down. He says, what are you doing out here? I was just showing Dwayne. He says, you know we don't start equipment unless it's emergency on Sunday. Get off that tractor. I don't know why I told you that. I just thought it was fun. But anyway, you know, my dad would hook up those big old John Deere tractors and we'd put plows on, and he'd turn the soil and put the disc on and prepare the seed bed, and with all the work done, we'd bring in our planters and plant that certified seed and fertilizer, insecticide, and herbicides. You know, it really cost my dad a lot of money to prepare that soil and to plant that certified seed and that herbicide and insecticide to put on those seeds. cost them a lot of money, a diesel and gas, a lot of manpower, a lot of equipment. Even before he reaped a single seed. You know, God says that to us. He says, listen, I want you to trust me in this. I think one of the biggest things living by faith is a farmer. He has no promise of weather. He has no promise of warmth. He has no promise of no hail or storms or freezing. But yet he goes out and he proves God. My father used to get on his knees before God and beg God for a good crop. I still do that. I said, dear God, this is your farm. Dear God, this is your place. Lord, would you use it greatly? I also pray, I said, Lord, would you show my farmer that this property is blessed by you and let it grow even more than everybody around it? And it has. By the way, you said, how many properties? I have 76 acres. Got about 100 altogether, but I got about 76 tillable. And God keeps taking care of it. I'm going to just get this point to you, okay? When God tells you to do something, do it. You say, but preacher, all I got this week was $80. Then give $8. Bring that $8 to church. But preacher, all I got was $50. Then bring $5. That's a tenth. But preacher, all I got this week was $200 in my checking. Then bring $20. Why? God said, you prove me herewith. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing. If Christian people can just get to one of the very basics of the doctrines of the Word of God about our tithing and our giving to God, God could bless in a great way. You say, but preacher, let me tell you something. Harry's Baptist Church will continue whether you tithe or not. Did you hear me? Harry's Baptist Church will continue whether you tithe or not. You say, I don't get it. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not after your money. I don't want your stinking money. I don't want your tithe. I don't want it. But God says I want it. You say, but preacher, you just don't understand. Our family will never make it. I will promise you, your family won't make it when you don't tithe. And you are cheating your wife, you're cheating your children, you're cheating yourself by not tithing to God's work, because God said, I will curse you with a curse. And God said, you prove me. I don't care how old you are. You're 10 years old and you've got a little job, or you're 15 years old or 18 years old and you've got a job. You make sure you tithe. And I mean tithe means that the first money that comes out, not after the all FIDC, PD, GBD, whatever they got all over your checkbooks, you know. But you give that, if it says this is what you get first, you take that out. I had a guy in the military, he told me one time, he said, preacher, I can't tithe. I said, why not? He said, I only make $89 a week. I said, aren't you in the Air Force? Yeah. I said, I read the Air Force Times and I know how much money you guys get. Are you kidding me? Well, he says, that's all I get in a check. I said, let me ask you this. Do you have any loans? Well, yeah. I said, where's the loan? Well, they take it right out of my check before I get it. That's okay. I asked about housing and I asked all that. Well, yeah, that's all taken care of. He said, all that gets is $89. I said, you're a liar. What do you mean I'm a liar? I said, you get, I think at that time he was getting about $300 a week. That was way back. Getting $300 a week. That was without his BDQ and all this other things that he got. And I said, no. I said, no. He says, I never saw it that way before. I said, well, you ought to read your Bible. You know, do what the Bible says. And you're the one, now listen to me, you're the one who's going to be blessed. I'm not being blessed about this. You're the one. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have the hand of God upon your life. Instead of you sticking a gun in God's face or a knife in his neck, I don't want you to rob God. I want you to come and be faithful to God's work and to continue to bring what God tells you to bring in. You'll be the happiest person in your life. We had a lieutenant colonel in our church. He was a financial man, brilliant man. Name was Lieutenant Bob Johnson. Years ago, he came to our church, and he had a pastor live next to him. He got saved, the pastor next door, and led to the Lord when he was just a lieutenant. And he got saved, and God miraculously saved this guy. Well, the preacher said to him, he said, Bob, he says, do you understand the situation? Do you understand the biblical teaching of the Word of God about tithing? And he says, I can't tithe. And the pastor says, I'll tell you what. He was his next door neighbor, right? He said, I'll tell you what. I want you to tithe for 1 month. I challenge you to tithe for 1 month. If you believe, and you can prove to me that you can't tithe after 1 month, I will cut you a check from our church. And I know how much you give. I'll cut your check back and I'll pay you back. That's a pretty good deal. And so Bob Johnson says, okay, I dare you. And the preacher says, I ain't into the daring, but I'm just getting in there to prove this something to you. Next month, guess what? Bob says, mathematically, it's impossible what happened. I have more money than I ever had. And God has blessed me in more ways than I can imagine. And he said, from that time forward, I never missed a Sunday without tithing. Now, let me say this. Whether God takes care of me or not, I'm going to tithe. You hear me? Because it's in the Bible. Whether God, one of the Old Testament prophets says, hey, whether there's an ox in the stall or not, whether I get nothing, I'm still going to trust God. I'm still going to give. I want to challenge you. I'm not fussing with you this morning. I'm encouraging you. I think that God can not think. I know, according to God's word, that God will bless you if you're faithful in your giving to God. You're missing out. Listen to me. You're missing. Your children are missing out. Your wife is missing out. Your family's missing out because you're not doing the biblical principle. Because God said, let me tell you something. Well, by the way, shall I read the rest of the story? Verse 11. Look, I know what time it is. I got 3 more minutes, so hang on. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord host. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, I'm going to tell you something. You do this. You know what God's doing? He's putting his name right in front of everybody. He said, I want you to know, this is what I said. This is what the Bible says. Prove me herewith. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven. See if I will not keep the fruit on your vine. See if I will not make sure that you are blessed. And make sure that the people around you said, good, now I understand what's going on, but there's just something about him. A couple of years ago, the farms in Michigan weren't doing very well. I got 191 bushel of corn an acre. How many like that? 190. Listen, we're not irrigated. It's just we did plant in the field. I got 191 bushel an acre. I believe with all my heart it's because Not because of me, but because I have been faithful to God in my tithes and offerings. I really believe that. He said, well, I'm going to tithe to get rich. We don't tithe to get rich. We tithe because it's the Bible's principle. It's what the Bible says. If we do get a little extra, that's the bonus. That's the blessing. If we don't, we're still living, and I haven't went hungry yet. Be faithful in your giving. Be very careful. Calculate it out. This is my tithe. This is what I give today. I'm very careful about that. Very careful about that. The offering, hey, blow your socks off of that thing. You do whatever you want on the offering. But a tithe, that's a principle to God. You get 10 sheep, you give one of them, amen. You got 10 cows, you give one of them. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Father, would you instill in our hearts to love you and love your word and to live by it and prove it and see if you will not open up the windows of heaven and pour on us a blessing. Dear God, help us today. Heads about, eyes are closed, folks. I haven't said much about salvation today. I haven't said much about a lot of things. I've talked pretty much about the finances of our lives. But you know, when a man gets saved, when a man trusts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he from that time on is owned by God. God promises to own you. And we're to own him. I hope today that God would speak to your heart. And if you're not saved, that today you'd say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come to my heart and save me right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing, please. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Piano's going to play. You come right now and say, preacher, today I want to get saved. I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. All you have to do is call upon his name and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me right now. If you'd like to do that, why don't you come right now and invite Jesus to be your Savior? You're here today and say, preacher, you know, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. I need to do that. Why don't you come at this time? You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe that God has sent us to be faithful. Why don't you come?